red pewback Bibles in front of you. That can be found on page 939. Again, that's Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
As Paul began his grand epistle to the Romans, he wrote of his desire to see them. In Romans 1, 9, and 10, we read of his diligent prayers towards that end. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come and see you. He also wrote of his desire to encourage them through mutual edification, which we see in Romans 1, 11, and 12. Paul's desire to see them was related to the gospel, which he served as an apostle of Christ, Romans 1:1, and of which he was not ashamed, Romans 1:16. A good question that we should all ask ourselves is, are we ever ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Being ashamed of the gospel could be a reason why many, and maybe even ourselves, are not active in personal evangelism. Perhaps by examining how and why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, we ourselves might be more diligent in our efforts to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So how exactly was Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Well, we know that he felt obligated to preach the gospel to everyone. In Romans 1:14, we see that he says that he is a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, to the wise and the unwise alike. He also says in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, that his obligation is due partly to the grace and favor that God had shown him. For I am the least of the apostles, he says, who is not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. We also know that Paul was ready to preach in Rome. Whatever opportunity was given to him, he would take it, Romans 1:15, even though his preference was to preach where Jesus had not yet been proclaimed before, Romans 15:20. Paul demonstrated that he was not ashamed of the gospel through his willingness and preparedness to preach the gospel anytime and anywhere. Now, why was Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Well, Paul knew that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. The gospel is for everyone who believes, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek, Romans 1:16. The gospel also reveals the righteousness of God in salvation. Romans 1:17 tells us how the just shall live by faith, and Romans 3:21 through 26 tells us how God is both the just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. Because of its power and message, Paul was not ashamed to preach the gospel to anyone willing to listen. From Paul, then, we ourselves should note several reasons why we should not be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel remains the same. It is still God's power to save. It is God's power to produce faith in the hearts of those who hear it. Romans 10:17, and it is his power to produce fruit in those who hear and know the truth, Colossians 1:5-6. And the gospel still reveals God's righteousness and salvation, how Jesus died for our sins and how we can receive remission of our sins in Jesus through faith, repentance, and baptism, Acts 2:36-38. The passing of time has not weakened the power and message of the gospel of Christ, and therefore, the need remains the same. Souls are in need of salvation. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. As Paul stated in Romans 1:16, the gospel is for everyone who believes. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And as Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, we are to go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. The passing of time has certainly not lessened the need and the scope of the gospel of Christ. From the example of Paul, we can know the proper attitude and conduct of those who are not ashamed of the gospel. When we are not ashamed of the gospel, we will feel a sense of obligation to the God who saved us by sending his own son down to this earth to die on the cross, and we should want to change our lives accordingly. We should also feel a sense of obligation to those who are lost. Are we not concerned about where others will spend eternity when they die? Should this not motivate us to do something? 2 Corinthians 5:11. Those who are truly not ashamed of the gospel will feel a sense of obligation similar to Paul's. When we are not ashamed of the gospel, we will also make ourselves ready to share it whenever we have an opportunity. If we're uncertain about anything or have any questions, we should be learning so that we are prepared when we are faced with teaching others about the gospel of Christ. So take a look at yourself and ask, am I ashamed of the gospel? You may be, if you're not doing anything to share the gospel or helping others with evangelism. You have no reason to be ashamed, for it has the power to save the souls of men. As 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter.
I'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. That'll be found on page 995 on the Red Pewback Bibles. I'll be reading from the CSB, starting in verse 8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us to the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus, before time began.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. As we reflect on this verse, I want to focus on a key part of it. I am not ashamed. Well, what is shame? Merriam-Webster defines it as a painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt, shortcoming, or impropriety. But why should we feel this pain, this emotion, when we fall short? Why is it necessary to Christians like us? Well, there is good shame in our lives, shame that rightfully comes when we sin against God. Romans 2:15 says that our conscience bears witness to our faith. Take Adam and Eve, for example. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve committed the first sin, which separated them from God. Verse 8 says that when they had heard the sound of God walking in the garden, they hid themselves from his presence, not only because they were afraid of the consequences of their sin, but because they were ashamed of what they had done. But the shame they felt proved to benefit them, for we see that they tried to guide their sons, Cain and Abel, to God. After all, how would you feel about sin if you were in their place? But this isn't the only example of beneficial shame that we find in the Bible. Consider Mark 14. The Apostle Peter was one of the most outgoing apostles, the first one to defend Jesus at times. But even with someone with such a seemingly strong faith, just like us, was still subject to sin. In Mark 14:29, Peter says that even if all others left Jesus, he would stay. And even when Jesus said that he was wrong, Peter says that he would rather die than deny Jesus. Yet, when people began noticing and saying that he was one of Jesus' followers, being an apostle, something that Peter would have proudly proclaimed, became a title that he did not want to own. I'm sure we all know what happens next. Each time someone said he was with Jesus, he told them no. He would curse himself and yell and refuse that he knew Jesus. But when he had realized what he had done, Peter went out and wept bitterly. It's ironic, in a cruel way, that Peter had sinned out of his fear of Roman punishment, despite saying that he would rather die than deny Jesus. But his acknowledgement of the fact that he had sinned shows us that shame isn't there just to make us feel bad. It's not there to be thrown in our faces and say, you messed up. It's there to correct us. It's there to align us with who we should be. Consider James 1, verses 3 through 4. It says that the testing of your faith produces patience, and when patience has its full effect, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You aren't going to always get everything on the first try. You're going to fail, and you are going to fall. But if you let those failures and the shame you feel after sin transform you, you can make yourself better each time. But shame is not always beneficial. It can hang on for a long time if we do not make an effort to remove ourselves from it. We can see this from another one of the apostles, Judas. Throughout the Bible, Judas had a sinful obsession with money, so much so that he sold Jesus out to the chief priests in Matthew 26:14-16. For Peter, when he had sinned against Jesus, he came back from it as a better man after learning his mistake. But Judas did not do the same. In Matthew 27:3-4, we see that Judas was remorseful and that he had felt ashamed at his mistake. But when he had thought he could not atone for his sins, he decided that dying would be better than living with a shame. So, as we know, he took matters into his own hands and hung himself. In this life, many people have the same problem as Judas. They feel so ashamed of whatever sins they've committed that they don't think that anyone, not even God, would forgive them. But that's why God has given us the gospel. It is the good news for everyone, regardless of our past mistakes or who we are. Think back to Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says that, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will enter the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." God holds his arms open for everyone, no matter what you've done. So this brings us back to the beginning. What is shame? Well, shame is when we disappoint ourselves. It's when we disappoint others. And it's when we disappoint God. But shame is not the end. Jesus did not die for us to be imprisoned in our shame. We've already heard one definition of shame, but here's a different side of it. Think of shame as an opportunity. A chance to reform, a chance to change, a chance to be closer to God. The gospel truly is the power of God for salvation to everyone. Will you accept his opportunity?
If you would, turn with me to 1 Peter 3:15-17. It's 1 Peter 3:15-17. I'll be reading from the New International Version. If you want to follow along on the Red Pewback Bible, that'll be on page 1016, 1016, starting in verse 15. "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil."
In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to first the Jews and also the Greeks." When looking at this verse, it says, "For I am not ashamed." And as Christians, we too are not to be ashamed. So today, I'm going to use the Bible and show three characters and how they were not ashamed, even in various situations and trials. First, Daniel chapter 3, it reads about how Nebuchadnezzar's golden image was made and how when the music was played, all the people were to bow down and worship it. And in verse 8, it reads, "At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'May the king live forever. Your majesty had issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and pipe, and all kind of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up.'" In this instance, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to worship anyone but their God, showing that they are not ashamed to know him. Now, in this situation, they were facing a moment of pure pressure, and in it, they chose God over the social pressure. And in our daily lives, you too could be put under peer pressure, whether it be at school, at work, or various social events. But you must remember that God delivered his people from the fire because they were faithful, and he can do the same for you too. Second, in Acts chapter 7, verse 55 through 60, it reads, "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." You see, in this verse, Stephen was actually killed by stoning because he was not ashamed to preach the word of God to others, even when they didn't want to hear it. And it meant persecution for him. Now, people are not stoning Christians in America today, but there are other forms of persecution, such as getting made fun of or getting passed on a job opportunity. But we still must go out and preach the word because God takes care of his children, and we must remember that as we go through these trials. Third, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 41 through 42, it reads, "And he withdrew from them but a stone's throw away, and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" This shows that Jesus, the Son of God, prayed to his Father when he was under trials and tribulation. We as Christians, no matter what we have done or what we are going through, we must not be ashamed to go to our God, our Father, in prayer, because he is the great provider and Savior for us all, and with him, all things can be done. In conclusion, we should not be ashamed to know our God or be ashamed to go to our Father in prayer or to preach his word. If you wish to be baptized or wish to ask for prayers from the congregation, please make your way forward as we stand and sing.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood?